This is ABC Radio Brisbane with Steve Austin.
10:35. Thank you so much. Yes, all the same price. $20, please. Have a nice day.
Someone told me the other day that we should call this mob "Are You Being Served?" So, but my guests are professional retailers of different sorts. Catherine Michael is Director of CM Inc. Communications and Marketing. Catherine Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
Gary Mortimer, Associate Professor at QUT's Business School. Gary, welcome to you.
G'day, Steve.
And Christine Moody is Founder of Brand Audits. Good to see you again, Christine.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Maya booked its first ever loss. Now, this is a company that's been around for over 100 years in Australia. The Maya chairman says the retailer needs to improve its customer service after revealing this deep loss. Chairman Gary Hounsell is leading the company as the search for a new chief executive continues. He told the market yesterday that good customer service has been a key part of the Maya brand in the past. Just have a quick listen to this.
We're focusing on training of our in-store personnel, our customer-facing personnel. We are working on attitudinal change with our staff. We are putting more people back onto the floors.
What does that reveal? Can I start with you, Catherine?
It reveals that they took people off the floors. They weren't focusing on customer service and they lost their way.
How fundamental a mistake is that?
In retail, pretty fundamental. It's kind of 101.
Is it really?
Yeah, and the fact that they've turned over a few CEOs, the new Maya strategy, the give us time. In retail at the moment, that's one thing most people don't have is time.
It's all about speed now.
Yeah, pivoting, changing, trialling, downsizing, changing structures, changing models. It's a much faster pace than it was than a lot of people and even the online retailers are finding the pace is pretty fast.
Christine Moody, I was surprised to learn that they used to have a book value of the name, what's called the goodwill.
Yes,
was $520 million.
Yes.
Now it's worth nothing.
Well, we talk about this all the time. The trademark's only worth something when the business is doing really well. You don't really sell something that's really quite intangible, and it affects the how it's performing, affects that price. But I feel a bit sad about Maya because I think it has lost its way. It's not a quick
fix. They had a healthy turnover. $1.7 billion, I think, was the turnover.
Yes,
it was pretty healthy.
They did a lot of writing off, apparently, so that's what's really affected it. But you know what? They just have to get in there, and if they're going to hire more people, make sure they're hiring the right people, not making knee-jerk reactions, because I don't know how patient the shareholders will be.
Yeah, their online sales were actually up.
Okay.
And trending up. Oh, so that's a good sign.
Gary Mortimer, can they fix it?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the comments that came out from the board this week was they're going to return to sort of looking at mum and dads, returning to sort of that sort of middle market. And when you think about it, a couple of years ago, I remember writing a piece around sort of the future of department stores in Australia. And really that middle ground is the area that I think there's opportunity. If we look at sort of the bottom end of the market, the Kmarts and the renewed Big Ws, that they own the discounted department store. They're doing that quite well. And the top end will always be David Jones. I think they're going to really position themselves quite high. The points about Maya having a lost identity is very valid. I mean, they were selling Wayne Cooper blouses for $299 and then Miss Shop T-shirts for $14. Mm. So they were trying to market to everybody. I think moving back into that middle market, and I suspect the market which has been vacated from Target, and Target's now really starting to look like Kmart, I think that's the opportunity for Maya. I don't think Maya can do this using a three-level store. So I think they need to look at that asset of a building and say, listen, rather than having rent as a liability or a building as a liability, it's in fact an asset. We can actually give one of these floors back to the shopping centre, make that the international food court, and we will take the two top levels or the two bottom levels and we'll make it almost a Target, the old Target. So good brands, good value, not cheap and cheerful like the Kmarts of today.
So we've solved it, really?
The retail panel has solved it.
Going up level five.
That's right. I think the big thing is, though, that the board has to walk the floor. They have to get back to seeing who the customers are, walking the floor, having a look at what's happening.
I would think that board has walked the floor many times.
Should they walk the plank? Because Solomon Liu,
yeah,
controller of Premier Investments, is going, you guys need to go.
Yeah. So I would hazard a guess they've walked quite a few of the square inches of their lettable areas, looking at exactly their floor spaces, what they can get out of. They're probably in deep dive negotiations with centres all across the country of how they can shrink and shrink rapidly.
Yep.
They have got ambitions to do that, but some of that takes the time, and that's not, they don't have that. So the share market is, you know, it's brutal, and they're it's sad.
Their share price is now worth 41 cents a share, apparently.
And you know, it's one of, can it turn around? You know, there's been other turnaround stories in Australian retailing.
Yes, they have.
Which are done by very focused people who lead teams in a very focused and concerted way. Guy Russo at Kmart is a classic case in point. So it's not all broken, but it's such an iconic retailing brand with so much affection behind it. Grace Brothers turning into Myer as well. So they've shredded a lot of valuation in just mismanagement.
What does it mean for you and me? What will this mean for you and me? I mean, in a sense, this is the business story, but what will it mean for Mr. and Mrs. Kafoops that go in there? Well, how do you get them in there?
Well, hopefully.
Sorry, Kafoops is a name my grandmother used to use. sorry. Mr. and Mrs., you know, John and Mary Citizen, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. John Citizen. I think people will notice that if they're going to put some of these things into play straight away, they'll notice more people on the floor. They'll start to notice perhaps more customer service straight away, because that's sort of an easy thing to do, and that's very visible. I think they need to get some visible stuff there for the customers.
Can I tell you a story? So I went in there. I look for, if I get good service from a particular staff member, I go in, and I went in there one day, and there was a bloke there who I would describe as a hipster. Now, my producers slap me around the face for stereotyping everyone, but stereotypes work. But there was this guy who was a hipster, and this guy was incredibly helpful. And I mentioned this when I came into work, and one of my producers said, I know who you're talking about. He is really good. And I thought, well, there's an indication when you get a staff member in whatever shop,
yes,
that's really helpful. Mm. You remember that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're not embarrassed to ask those questions. If you're in the technology area, you don't sort of feel like stupid with technology.
That's right.
I think you'll see some mum and dad, Mr. and Mrs. Austin at home, will probably see some really heavy promotion to clear some stock that's probably sitting on. You will see some really aggressive loss leading to get the traffic in, and I think you will see them.
You mean low price stuff just to get you in the store?
Potentially, but you'll also see them create what Myer and department stores, you know, real eventing, so that, you know, Easter, what does that going to look like? Because Christmas was late and fast and furious, but they didn't turn and didn't get as exactly what they thought, and they were already sort of bleeding into Christmas, which is usually the time they would not be.
They had a 33% increase in shrinkage. What is shrinkage code for, Catherine?
Theft. Loss, mismanagement, poor stock taking. It's symbolic of not being well run.
33% seems like a big figure to me, or high figure to me.
It's very high.
That would have been a 33% increase on their previous year, not a 33% off their... Yeah,
that's right.
That would have been a disaster.
A third of the stock going.
Yes, okay.
But I think ultimately, I mean, and there has been some criticisms about when you run a business like an accountant, you run it like an accountant. So what's happened is traditionally, inventory is the biggest cost to a business, so they haven't turned their inventory, they've held it, and that's why we've seen entire floors called the Myer Clearance Centre, because they've got inventory that's two or three or four seasons old that they need to clear. It's now sitting on their books. And then the next thing that costs money to a business is staff, and I'm sure that there's listeners out there this afternoon who run businesses go, staffing costs are massive. So when my sales are down, this is what Catherine's talking about, we'll cut staff. And one of my criticisms is that when you walk into their consumer behaviour, their consumer electronics department, the person that's serving you about the television set works in menswear, but he's doing a shift in televisions. So you lose that product experience and expertise. So you then go to JB Hi-Fi or Harvey Norman, who has product expertise. And we're seeing them strategically move away from those toys, sporting goods, consumer electronics, furniture, bedding, because there's great specialty retailers doing that stuff now. And their whole focus was on apparel. But now in the last 5 years, we've seen Zara, H&M, Uniqlo, enter the marketplace, and that's they're now more exposed.
My guests are all specialists in the retail area. That was Gary Mortimer, Associate Professor at QUT's Business School. Christine Moody is the founder of Brand Audits, and Catherine Michael is Director of CM Inc. Communications and Marketing. Catherine Michael, tell me about Westpac's wearable payment system.
So I actually went into a branch today, which is rare and unusual, and they have...
It is rare to go into a bank, isn't it?
And even rarer.
Go to a hole in the wall or just go...
I rarely go to the hole in the wall anymore to a teller to bank a cheque. It was a rare feat this month, the one cheque. And they have this wearable payment, so it looks like a Fitbit, but it's from Westpac, and it's battery-free, waterproof, durable. It doesn't need charging, and it is exactly the same usage as using your Westpac MasterCard or a debit card, but it solves some pain points. And I just thought, oh, that means no phone and no wallet. So if I'm at the beach or if I'm doing a swim, I don't need to take anything with me but wear this thing.
So you've got this sort of bracelet kind of thing on.
Yeah, and I looked up because I thought, oh, how's it go with, you know, near-field communication and how's the fraud aspect of it because, you know.
I'd be worried I'd brush past someone and, hey, presto, I've just paid them $20. Well,
exactly, and that's where, well, a transaction has to be entered in first to the receiving. Yes. So, you know, you can't just put a random 20 somewhere, but it's got to be 4 centimetres and be for a certain amount of time. And the merchant must have already put in the transaction and approved it before you can use it. But I just thought they've answered partly what, you know, still having the iPhone, even though there's the Apple Wallet and
Apple Watch.
It actually is a little bit of an inkling to Apple. Westpac produced some thing in-app payment through their keyboard, and Apple actually got them to take it off last year. So I think there's
the banks eventually won that battle, though, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
No, Apple has refused the majors in Australia banks, the major Australian banks, of having those in Apple. So they can do on some other phones. I'm not sure exactly whether it's Samsung or the other Android, but it's a curious thing. Australia has the highest concentration of contactless payments in the world. We're really early adopters of some of this tech.
Lazy. Anything that helps us be lazy, we're into.
The only thing that worries me, we've got the Fitbit, we've got this, we've got, what else can we have on our wrist? The Apple Watch. Mm. Do you know what I mean? How many?
I've started to notice that myself.
Yes, so, Steve, you say so lazy, I say convenient. You say, we're complacent, I say frictionless. It's just where you sit on that spectrum.
I say give me your data.
And there goes the next bubble.
Please, yes.
nice
segue. Why do we trade privacy for access to social and search networks?
Oh, this has erupted this week with the Facebook and what
price? Because the people you just told me about, they're collecting data as well.
Everyone is collecting data.
Yeah. And they're all trading it, I assume.
Absolutely.
Are they all trading it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so this sort of, have we reached the point where giving up some information, you know, the deal with the devil, sort of giving up some information, the price to pay, price of entry for being social, you know, that you have given up
all
the ease of sort of, you know, giving up personal data and privacy rules, and then understanding that, you know, Facebook or whatever the platform might be using those in a way that you didn't want, not intended, and what do you do about that?
The other stuff that's really interesting, I had a couple of colleagues at QUT write this week, is Alexa and the little Google sort of voice things, that the information that's now tracked from that. So it's not just your, I guess, your movements, your access to social media and what you're looking at, but it's also what you're saying. So if we've got enough of those little stations around homes around Australia and we're asking what's the weather like, what's coming up on ABC Brisbane next, what's happening on the TV show, that's all information that's being gathered.
But don't forget, somewhere along the line we've ticked a box or whatever. No one ever reads that fine print.
But have we? Yeah. And that's just it. So I talk about this at one of my classes where I look at Westfield's free Wi-Fi and I say, has anybody actually read the terms and conditions? And I go through it with them and it's like pages and pages and you go through another link. And eventually you find that it says that whilst you're at a Westfield, we'll give you 2 hours of free Wi-Fi to a certain amount. But what we will collect is when did you sign on? When did you sign off? Where did you go throughout the centre? Because we can't use GPS, we have to use basically beacons to track it. What did you buy? How many times did you stop? What did you share on social media? And we'll use that data and sell that data on to help our, I guess, our businesses provide you with another, I guess, element of convenience. So it's interesting. We do all the time trade information for convenience or points.
Yeah, some of the information is not personally identifiable, so it's just data.
Aggregated data.
And loyalty programs from most of the retailers and the petrol stations and, you know, Chemist Warehouse or Bunnings or, you know, they've been collecting data for ages, but there's a privacy policy that's been wrapped around that that precludes them. And Australia's have a pretty good record of adhering to privacy, but this is a next level on a global scale. Yeah.
Catherine, a listener, Joanne from Paddington, just sent us a note saying that Bank West has a ring
that's
you can
right.
wear as a bank card. Yep. You can order it right now,
yes.
So you've got a ring on your finger.
I'm with ING.
So, hey presto, you're married to Bank West.
Yep.
and you...
But you know the funny
you
thing
have to pay.
But you know the funny thing about this? The design of it isn't very nice. Like, they've designed bands and rings, but they're actually...
It's a bit industrial, is it?
Very. It's designed by someone who's designed a credit card. You know what I mean?
Right,
I would go to a jewellery designer and say...
Make it look pretty.
Make it look amazing.
Well, the first Westpac one was from a guy who's a surfer. Mm. So the pitch is you can go surfing, because they did all this research that said people, when they go to the beach, their wallets get stolen. Yeah. And when you go for a run, you have to put money down the bra.
Yeah.
When you go to a festival or out for a night, guys have got money in various places and women as well. So, you know, if you don't really want to take a hunking wallet or a handbag out. So this solves some of those problems.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane. My guests work in the area of retail and the like. Christine, tell me about Myer and Country Road. They're trialling something.
Yes. Well, they're trialling shoppable posts or tags. So you see on Instagram, photos are tagged. So you used to have a look at what brand someone was wearing, and that's as far as you went. So, you know, such and such influence is wearing this. So you only took a note of it, and then you'd go online and look for the product. Well, now you can actually shop through there. So it will tell you the item and the cost. And On Instagram.
So Instagram is the shop.
Yes, Instagram is the shop. Now, the e-commerce side, you still get taken to their site because of security, but they are working on that. So they have chosen, it's been in the States for a little while, they've been testing it, but Myer and Country Road Group, and we've got to remember that Country Road Group is now Country Road, Mimco, a whole lot of brands.
A whole lot of them, okay.
Yeah, and so they are the first major retailers. Because what they found overseas was it really increased the number of visits and the number of sales.
So Catherine can go in, she doesn't have to go in, she can look on Instagram, see what she likes. Wave her wristband thing in front of something and it turns up.
That's it. Well, you can do it on the way home. So by the time you get off the bus, your dress is at your door. But I mean, I'm joking, but that can be done. But see, Country Row, they've picked Myer and Country Row because Country Row's got 521,000 followers and Myer, by the way, has got 310,000. Followers.
Well, seems significant for some reason.
Yeah, but that is really big. It's really big for fashion, beauty and lifestyles. That's where they're making the sales.
It's interesting when you look at online purchases and the hours that most of them happen.
Yeah.
And it's after dinner.
Yes.
And on the way home from work.
Yep.
So that's when most retail's closed. But people are still,
that's when people have time though, isn't it?
Well, they're on the bus.
Otherwise, you don't have any time.
So this answers the searching. I haven't got time to go in. I'll search and now I can shop.
Saves you lots of time.
Yeah.
6 minutes to five, news at five. My guests are Christine Moody, Gary Mortimer and Catherine Michael. Gary, I want to end it on this one, I think, but Wesfarmers. I heard this and I thought, what does this mean? I must ask my panellists. Wesfarmers has ditched Coles. Explain.
So they're going to list Coles as a separate company, Coles Company, back on the ASX and enable...
To be a standalone
company. Enable me, you and anybody else and also institutional investors to buy the company. Now, Wesfarmers, who currently owns Coles as part of their retail conglomerate, will retain about 20% of that business. That business, Coles alone, is valued at around about $20 billion. So what that's going to do is essentially give them a capital injection of around about $16 billion back onto their books.
So it gives Wesfarmers a big capital injection.
Correct. They still have about 20%, you know, ownership, so it's a very minor component, but that access to $16 billion will allow them to then pursue other opportunities is what they're saying, which means and Wesfarmers is a very, very good conglomerate at looking at mines, going into them, getting out of them, getting into Coles, getting out of Coles, and that's exactly how they operate. They look for those opportunities. They've gone into the UK. It wasn't a particularly good move, but they may hold it, or they may withdraw out of that market, but they'll look for opportunities and go into those markets.
And they've already started the campaign. You start to see these ads come out. It's our Coles, and here's such and such that's worked here.
Really?
For this number. Yeah,
I haven't seen
actually,
that.
They don't talk about...
So they're positioning themselves already.
They're talking about, you know, we're all Coles, and they're talking about from a customer point of view and a staff point of view.
It'd be a great business for someone to buy or even an international player to get into the market, because it's not just the supermarkets, it's all of their fuel and convenience, it's all of their liquor and some hotels.
Yeah, the scale of it means, though, there's globally not that many eligible buyers.
It's so big.
And it's like mergers and acquisitions, this is a demerger. Mm. It's not a sale. So the terminology is actually pretty critical and pretty careful for shareholders.
So it's a demerger?
It's a demerger.
Does that mean shareholders are vulnerable somewhat?
This is the most tax-effective outcome for both Wesfarmers and the shareholders. So it's not a sale. It's not a spin-off. They're not selling it. They're demerging. They will retain assets, and usually in a demerger, people from the parent will go down and still play a role on the board of that demerged asset, because they have skin in the game. May not be 20%, maybe 10, maybe 12, who knows, up to a controlling point. But they want to make sure that they can then grab onto and fuel up Bunnings or faster growing businesses. Coles is at a special point in time in terms of its growth and its pace of growth compared to what they could get in and out of in other markets or other industries. Yep. So they're a brilliantly run business and they're very sharp. So, you know, I'm sort of interested. It also allows staff to buy in, allows suppliers to have a new and a regenerated conversation and dialogue about their trading with them. So it's a very healthy thing.
So potentially it could revitalise the whole organisation.
Yep.
And there's all the history. Staff-owned companies do better, because you feel like you're working and you're going to get the benefit of working really hard as well as the salary. Mm. You're also getting a benefit from a shareholding. So
this is ABC Radio Brisbane. And anything else on the horizon that I haven't seen? Catherine, you look like you have something that's eating away at the back of your mind that you're bursting to get out. Is this right?
It's I think Chris actually pitched it, but it's that Shoes of Prey. So even though everyone sort of retailers bemoan, online's going to kill us and all that, they still have hairs on their business models as well and struggle. And these guys are seeking a round of investment and fresh investment.
A capital injection, is that the right term?
Capital injection, yes.
And, you know, innovation and new and unique was maybe 3 years ago for that business in that model at that time. But
I've been a buyer since then. I bought just to test the model.
So we should explain. Shoes of Prey is it's an online shoe company.
You can design your shoes.
Dimensions. You design it all on that. Hey presto, it's shipped to you a couple of days.
Yeah, so different styles. You can change things on it. And I bought from it.
And they were revolutionary apparently when they started.
Amazing, really amazing service. But what happened was they did grow. They bought their own factory, but I noticed a quality shift. A really big quality shift. They were still keeping the prices high.
So they're still a viable business, still going well, but they're looking for a big cash injection.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And also, too, if you look at the stats on shoes, sneakers are back. Like, sneakers are huge growth. Heels are going out because women are sick of heels. So
it's hard to compete with that sort of thing,
isn't it? Yeah, it is. They bought it in.
So it's a competitive market for them.
It is.
Yeah. So interesting that, you know, online models aren't all their, you know, they still have
not a guarantee of success.
Not a guarantee of success either. And they've built big Instagram following, big social media following.
See, in my mind, things are just getting more complicated, Catherine. I know it's, you know, digital and online is ease and convenience, is your word, but there's also an extra level of overall complication.
Yeah, business generally is much more complicated than it used to be.
That's every business really, isn't it?
Adrian sent us a note. Yes, Coles is slowing down and overseas entrants will dilute value. What do you think?
The point that Catherine made, there's only a couple of global players that would look at this. Walmart has entered Mexico, South America, okay. Canada through acquisition. So has Carrefour, the French retailer. Yes. I suspect they'd look at entering Australia through that model if it's not sold and broken up.
I suddenly realised I'm out of time. Yeah. I've got to go. Catherine, Michael, Gary Mortimer and Christine Moody, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to ABC Radio Brisbane with Steve Austin.